McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. What's happening all around us here in the United States of America and Europe and throughout the world essentially is unprecedented. It's never happened before, at least to this magnitude and degree. So, for example, if we take the coronavirus and all the procedures that are being utilized to stop the transmission and spread of the coronavirus, and then if we go back to ancient Egypt, when Israel, the children of Israel, were captured and serving the Pharaoh, or what I call the Pharaoh God King system, as slaves. Now, they had their own houses or huts or whatever. They had degrees of freedom when they were slaves under Pharaoh. And they were able to have, to a significant degree, they were able to have a culture within a culture. But during the 800 years of captivity under Pharaoh, and the question has to be asked, why did the children of Israel, why did they end up in captivity or slavery under Pharaoh? Why did they have to serve Pharaoh for 800 years in slavery? And this was like back-breaking work. So, for example, Pharaoh, the Lord began to harden Pharaoh's heart. And the Pharaoh would demand of his slaves, the children of Israel, he increased their quota or the amount of bricks that they had to make or produce every single day. So one of their primary jobs under Pharaoh was to make bricks. And these bricks were constructed of a mud and straw. And then they went out in the hot sun and they served as bricks. You could build houses, you could build all kinds of things with these bricks made out of mud and straw. And the Pharaoh had endless uses for this construction. But as God hardened Pharaoh's heart, he increased the amount of bricks that they had, that the Israelite slaves had to make. He increased the number of bricks they had to make per day. And then he decreased the amount of material that they had to have to make the bricks. And when I say the material, I'm talking about the mud and the water was a critical component in making bricks, and the straw was a critical component in the manufacturing of bricks. So the way this worked organizationally is the Pharaoh God King system was an imitation to a large degree of what happened at Mystery Babylon in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, where the people constructed a gigantic tower that ascended into the stars, known as the Tower of Babel. So in ancient Babylon, you also see construction of a pyramid, a pyramidal shaped tower that ascended into the stars. And in ancient Egypt, you see these giant pyramids constructed by the Pharaoh. And both the ancient Babylonians, during the time of the Tower of Babel, they utilize slaves to do their work. And the Pharaoh utilized the children of Israel to be slaves to do the work. And both of these represent what the Bible calls a type of the world system. A type of the world system. Many places in the Bible, something will be recorded. it will be an actual historical event or an actual historical person or a future person predicted by the scriptures. But sometimes that situation, that person, that nation serves a dual purpose in terms of God's communication to us. So, for example, from an overall perspective, ancient Babylon, at the time of the Tower of Babel, where mystery Babylon, the occult religion, existed, was a type of the world system under the temporary rulership of Lucifer. So Babylon is a type of the satanic world system with its occult religion. Babylon is also a type of the future world system, because when you go back to ancient Babylon, they built the world's first new world order with a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world economic system. Now, God came down and judged ancient Babylon for that, because he looked into the hearts of men and women, and he knew that they were serving Lucifer. So ancient Babylon and mystery Babylon is a Luciferian global system. So when the Pharaoh God-King system replicated what happened in ancient Babylon to a large degree, they also served, Pharaoh served as a type of the coming Antichrist, in that he was worshipped as God. Egypt served as a type of the global world system, like Babylon was a type of the global world system under the rulership of Lucifer. So when we go into the future, into the book of Revelation, we see that in Revelation, we see the return of Mystery Babylon, the great harlot, which began in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. And it is this world system that the Bible's been warning about, this satanic world system that the Bible is warning about. And in the book of Revelation, we read about, especially in Revelation 13, we read about the fact that in this return of Mystery Babylon, that the kings of the earth, the mighty men, the wealthiest men, the most powerful men and women on planet earth, will serve Satan by serving Mystery Babylon, also known as the Great Harlot or the Great Whore. So what happens is that the New World Order that was birthed in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel, even though it's judged by God thousands of years into the future, we see the reemergence of what is called Mystery Babylon. The same secret occult teaching, the same hidden Luciferian and satanic worship is all comes back to life. And we also see in the future, in the book of Revelation, that Mystery Babylon will birth a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world economic system, which is exactly what occurred in ancient Babylon. And so, in addition to that, when you read Revelation 13, you read that Mystery Babylon and this coming one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system is ruled and put together by what the Bible describes as two beasts. The first beast is a worldwide charismatic leader who's the Antichrist, and he unifies the world to a large degree, and he is in charge of the one world government. Now, like his spiritual predecessors in the Pharaoh God King system, and like his predecessor Nimrod, who many thought had supernatural powers, and many believed that Nimrod had the DNA that came from fallen angels. So Nimrod had all these supernatural abilities like the Antichrist will have. And Nimrod was the head of the one world system known as ancient Babylon. And in the book of Revelation, the head of this one world government, the Antichrist, is head of a global government. He's head of a new world order. But there's an additional factor which shapes this entire thing very powerfully. And this is the additional factor. There's two beasts. First beast is the Antichrist, or the head of the one world government. The second beast is the false prophet, or the false prophet is the head of the one world religion and the one world economic system. Now, that should not sound strange to us. If it sounds strange to you, I strongly recommend that you read my book, The Day the Dollar Died, because I explain it in simple-to-understand economic terms, this global monetary system that's being birthed all around us. So, the Antichrist sets himself up in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, and he sits on a throne, the abomination of desolation that Jesus Christ talked about. And sitting on the throne room of God, this imposter, the Antichrist, demands that the whole world worships him as God, as he sits in the temple of God, on the throne of God. Now, the second beast, or the false prophet, he is the head of the one world religion and the one world economic system. Notice that even though, in terms of a knee-jerk reaction, when you talk to people about the merger of a one world religion and a one world economic system, really, they can't handle it. It goes way beyond their ability to comprehend it. But that's what the Bible says is going to happen. In the future, there will be a merger of the global government, the global religion, and the global economic system. And so the false prophet's job is to administrate and to promote and organize and run not only a global religion, but a one world economic system. And so if you talk to people, and they try to shun what you're saying or make fun of what you're saying, especially Christians who are uneducated and don't read their Bible and don't understand Bible prophecy, you can communicate to people with confidence, incredible confidence, about and the fact that you know what you're talking about by simply explaining to them, if they hem and haw when you talk about a global religion and a global financial system, we'll just take out any U.S. dollar, like a $1 bill. Just take a $1 bill out of your pocket. I do this all the time, speaking at conferences. It never ceases to amaze me that no matter how many times I will use a dollar bill as an illustration, people are essentially, many people are shocked and amazed. There are many people who are familiar with what I'm talking about. But the average American, the average person in Europe, really never bothers to look at their currency, like a dollar bill. So I'm here in the studio of the Paul McGuire Report. I'm pulling out a $1 bill like I do at conferences and other things where I speak. Because it's the simplest way to illustrate a powerful, profound truth. And you can't argue with it. So for people who have trouble comprehending how a one-world religion and a one-world economic system can fit together, show them the dollar bill. And on the front of the $1 bill, you see the picture of George Washington, And there's occult symbols on the front of the dollar bill. But when you turn a $1 bill over, as I am now, and you should have one in your hand so you can visually see it, this is one of the, showing people a dollar bill is one of the most effective ways of proving Bible prophecy that I know. It's almost humorous. It's so simple. So when you look at the back of a $1 bill, on the left-hand side, what do you see? Well, you all know what we see. We see a very large pyramid on the left-hand side of a $1 bill. We see a large pyramid, and then we see the very top of the pyramid. And at the very top of the pyramid, we see what is known as the all-seeing eye of Lucifer, or the all-seeing eye of Horos. Now, then, in case there's any misunderstanding as to what the purpose of this symbol is on the back of our dollar, it says under the base of the pyramid, the words in Latin, Nuvos Ordo Seclorum, which simply means New Order of the Ages. New Order of the Ages. So what is being communicated through the artwork on a dollar bill is Freemasonic and Masonic and Illuminati occultism. That's exactly what it is. It's Illuminati occultism. Because the words Nuvos Ordo Seclorum on the base of the pyramid, on the back of a $1 bill, that translated in English means New World Order. So right on the back of the U.S. dollar. So this is for all the people who hysterically use the words conspiracy theorist, like they run around like chickens with their heads chopped off. They don't know what they're talking about, because in the back of the U.S. dollar, underneath the base of the pyramid, it says the words New World Order. It's simply translated from Latin, but the precise verbiage is New World Order. And in case anyone has difficulty comprehending the integration or the merger of occultism and Luciferianism and Satanism with economics and the monetary system, in case that's problematic to uneducated people, and uneducated people are challenged by that and try to scoff at that, well, then you further explain the other symbols and language on the back of the U.S. dollar, because it all super reinforces what you're trying to teach people about Bible prophecy. So we see that it says New World Order under the base of the pyramid. And then we have to go back to the fact that on the back of a U.S. dollar is a large picture on the left-hand side of the dollar of a pyramid. Where does that come from? Where does that pyramid come from? Well, I'll tell you where it comes from. The pyramid that you and I are staring at on the back of a U.S. $1 is and represents the Tower of Babel, because the Tower of Babel was a pyramid. It was architecturally a ziggurat, which is a pyramid structure. So what you're looking at on the back of a $1 bill is the same pyramid that the Tower of Babel was made of. So the question, the deep question has to be asked, why do we have a symbol of the Tower of Babel, or Babel, on the back of a U.S. dollar? Now, some people may be finicky and try to engage in petty arguments about the symbolism. They may say, well, no, that pyramid, it represents Egypt. How do you know whether it represents Egypt or the Tower of Babel? How do you know that? Because the truth of the matter is that the pyramid on the back of a U.S. dollar primarily represents the Tower of Babel. How do we know that? Because the Tower of Babel was the pyramidical tower in ancient Babylon. And let us remember why God came down to judge ancient Babylon in Genesis 11. He came down to judge ancient Babylon because Babylon, under the satanic ruler Nimrod, was building a new world order. And a new world order that consisted of a one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system. And if that's challenging to people, then simply read to them, again, the words Nuvos Ordo Seclorum under the base of the pyramid on the back of the dollar, which means New World Order. So if there's any confusion as to the meaning of the pyramid, well, it's defined for us in the back of the dollar where it says New World Order. And then if there's any question as to whether or not this new world order and this one world government and this one world religion and this one world economic system is Luciferian and satanic, if that's a question, then simply show the person you're trying to educate or communicate with that at the top of the pyramid, towards the top of the pyramid on the back of the US dollar, is a smaller pyramid with the all-seeing eye of Lucifer or Satan on it. The all-seeing eye of Lucifer or Satan on it. So there's no question that the symbolism and the language on the back of the U.S. dollar is pointing to a future one-world government, one-world religion, one-world economic system called the New World Order. That is Lucifer's government on Earth. And the members of the secret societies and the secret occult societies, like the Illuminati, and before the Illuminati, it was the Rosicrucians and many other secret societies, their goal, according to their own documentation and writings, is to create a new world order that consists of a one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system. So here we see on this paper money of a $1 bill, we see through the symbolism and through the words translated from Latin and through the symbolism, we see a merger or a combining of occult religious principles, occult religious ideas. We see evidence of a one world occult religion. It's all indicated on the back of a U.S. dollar when you understand its symbolism and the verbiage on the back of a U.S. dollar. And if that's not enough, I could go on for another hour explaining other symbolism on the back of the U.S. dollar, numerology, and all kinds of things. So, for example, let's take on the right-hand side of the U.S. dollar. We see a bird that many people think is an eagle, an American eagle. But what that bird is on the right-hand side of the U.S. dollar, it's not an eagle. It's a phoenix. What is a phoenix? A phoenix is a legendary bird of occult legends and occult stories. The phoenix is an occult symbol representing a legendary occult bird. And according to the occult legends, the phoenix is burnt up, crashes from the sky, and dies as it hits the ground, and it's completely engulfed in flames. Yet somehow, miraculously, through occult power, the phoenix is able to come back to life. It experiences a counterfeit resurrection, and it comes back to life again. Okay, so what does that mean, and why is it on the back of the U.S. dollar? The super occultists, the members of the Illuminati, the high-level Satanists who constructed our monetary system using satanic principles, They deliberately put the Phoenix bird on the back of a U.S. dollar because, according to occult teaching, before before Lucifer's one-world government, one-world religion, and one-world economic system can come into being, or the New World Order, the old order, the old world order, has to burn up to chaos. The old world order has to be destroyed completely and burnt up completely. It's only after, through the usage of satanic principles, it's only after the old world order is burnt up and destroyed completely, it's only then that the new world order can rise from the ashes of the old. And that's why a phoenix symbolizes that, because the phoenix is the bird that is completely burnt up and destroyed, dies, and then comes back to life again in the supernatural resurrection. Now, this occult teaching permeates many levels of society. So I just said something to you. I said the words that the new world order will rise from the ashes of the old. Well, what I just said happens to be a lyric from one of Led Zeppelin's, the rock and roll group, one of their biggest hit songs had that lyric, which says, "The new world order rises from the ashes of the old." Now, that's because the rock and roll group Led Zeppelin, many of the members were deeply involved in Satanism. Aleister Crowley, the great Satanist, and the occult. And so when you hear certain of the lyrics of Led Zeppelin and other rock and roll groups, you will hear occult teachings. In fact, in many of Led Zeppelin's songs, there are blatant occult teachings, such as the new world order will rise from the ashes of the old. And there's one lyric which says, "We are your overlords." That idea is that those that serve Satan will be the overlords, or the rulers that dominate the masses. That's pretty heavy stuff, don't you think? I think it is. So, in the occult game plan, remember, one of their primary themes is order out of chaos, or new world order out of chaos. So what they will do on every single level, which means the economic level, the religious level, the political level, and other levels, they are going to create manufactured crisis or manufactured chaos with the express purpose of burning up the existing world order with chaos and crisis so that they can bring in the new world order from the ashes of the old, like the mythical bird, the phoenix. So our dollar shows quite plainly that there is even now, and has been for thousands of years, there has been a linking together of national economic systems and occult teachings, such as the New World Order and the global government, the global religion, and the global economic system. And you also read that in the book of Revelation. And when you look at today, and by today I mean, if you look at what has happened in the world during the last 125 years approximately, actually, a more proper way would be to say, if you look at the world seriously, going back a little more than 200 years, you will see that many of the teachings of the occult masters, men like Sir Francis Bacon, one of the world's most brilliant intellectuals, spiritual and occult advisor of the Queen of England, a man who was known for creating the scientific method and empirical evidence, a man who was a genius in terms of mathematics and physics and science. And yet at the same time, Sir Francis Bacon was a very powerful disciple of the occult. He was the head of the Rosicrucian movement. And the Rosicrucian movement was the most powerful occultic movement on planet Earth until it changed its name to the Illuminati. Sir Francis Bacon was instrumental in the founding of America. When the Pilgrims and Puritans came to America to escape religious persecution in England and Europe, and the Pilgrims and Puritans were strong Bible-believing Christians. Sir Francis Bacon and his wealthy elite occult friends smuggled secretly aboard some of the Pilgrim and Puritan ships, as well as renting their own ships. They sent over hundreds, if not thousands, of men and women, etc., who were disciples of Francis Bacon's occult religion, who snuck in among the Pilgrims and Puritans. And it was Sir Francis Bacon who believed that America was destined to become the head of the New World Order, and that America would be the New Atlantis. And what is the New Atlantis? Well, Atlantis was a legendary super civilization. And there's no proof that Atlantis ever existed. There's a great deal of speculation that Atlantis existed. Personally, I think Atlantis did exist, but finding proof for it is difficult. But according to the historical legends and according to philosophers and people who were very brilliant, they said that Atlantis did exist, that Atlantis was founded and formed by the children that were the offspring of the mating between the fallen angels and human women, which means the Rephaim and Nephilim, that those descendants of the fallen angels that intermingled with human women were the people that founded the ancient super civilization known as Atlantis. And Atlantis was a combination of a science fiction civilization. They had advanced technology, advanced science, and advanced occultic knowledge and advanced occultic powers. In addition, Atlantis, the way Atlantis was governed, according to the Greek philosopher Plato, who was an expert on the legendary Atlantis. Plato said that Atlantis was governed by somewhere between 12 and 10, what he called philosopher kings or god kings. And so a relatively small number of what were called the philosopher kings or the god kings, somewhere between 10 and 12 of them, ruled the masses and ruled Atlantis. Why? Because as the god kings or the philosopher kings, they were trained and had all kinds of advanced, specialized knowledge in government, politics, philosophy, the occult, science, physics, and many other disciplines. Now, what is imperative to grasp here is that it is the globalist elite that are secretly ruling the world today, and the globalist elite that have been secretly ruling the world for centuries, they have studied Plato, they have studied Plato's writings on Atlantis, and in their game plan for a new world order, they want to imitate and copy the model of ancient Atlantis that was ruled by 10 or 12 god kings or philosopher kings. In other words, what Atlantis represents is an advanced super world ruled by a handful of elite men who possessed advanced knowledge and powers. And that's how it would be. That's the justification intellectually. And that's the plan that the globalist elite are using today, as today they bring about their one world government, their one world religion, and their one world economic system. Now, in case this is somewhat intense, I strongly recommend that you go to paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us, and order some of my book bundles where you can save money and get yourself copies of books in a book bundle, like The Day the Dollar Died, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, Mass Awakening, very, very important to get, Conquering the Matrix, and some of the other book bundles, because they will download into your mind in a very fast-moving and entertaining way a lot of information that I don't have time to share with you right now. But they break it down. They decode it for you. Most people don't understand this. Most Christians shamefully don't understand this. But this really is the way the world works. The Rothschild family understands this. The Rockefellers understand this. The people that secretly rule the world understand this. If you look at the Fabian socialists, men like H.G. Wells, the science fiction author, he wrote fiction, nonfiction books like The New World Order. Bertrand Russell, the socialist intellectual and atheist who hated Christianity, and others. They were the leaders and planners and intellectuals behind this New World Order that they were building starting in the 1800s. And then you have Aldous Huxley and his brother Julian Huxley, and Aldous Huxley, again, another intellectual planner of the New World Order. Aldous Huxley, as I write about in books and explain to you in a deeper manner, Aldous Huxley wrote the novel Brave New World, which was all about the creation of a scientific dictatorship where a genetically enhanced elite ruled the masses through mind control and genetics, just like today. And so, in Aldous Huxley's novel, which depicted all this, called Brave New World, his pseudo-utopia was ruled by what Aldous Huxley called the scientific elite, men who were super intelligent, trained in science and mind control, etc. And this tiny group of elite men and women composed the scientific dictatorship that would rule the New World Order. Now, what Huxley was alluding to, because he was a member of the cult of Dionysus, which goes back to ancient Babylon, what Huxley was alluding to was the return of Babylon. And when Huxley used the term the scientific elite, he was referring to the exact same governmental structure that Plato referred to when Plato was describing the ancient legendary super civilization being ruled by 10 or 12 philosopher kings or god kings, that the rulers of Atlantis, Atlantis was the New World Order, was ruled by what Huxley called the scientific elite, but a synonym for the scientific elite could be the god kings or the philosopher kings. It's the same principle, same idea, that the masses of people on planet Earth are ruled by a secret godlike elite that will rule the masses. Now, this was originated primarily at the time of the Tower of Babel, ancient Babylon, where under Nimrod they built the world's first one-world government, one-world religion, one-world economic system. It's the same thing, except back then, Nimrod was the god king. And then when ancient Egypt, and they had what I call the Pharaoh god king system, but it was the same occultic idea that the world system, or the New World Order, which back then was ancient Egypt, and their giant pyramids, and their thousands of slaves, they were ruled by an occult elite, god kings, the pharaoh and his family, and god kings. So, you see, what we're getting at here, and you kind of have to keep your safety belt on, because what I'm sharing with you, what I'm explaining to you, many of you know because you listen to this program or do your own research, but most of the people you talk to will have no clue as to what I'm talking to you about. And what I'm explaining to you right now is what 99% of the people on planet Earth have no idea of, including the so-called intellectuals, the so-called college professors, the so-called geniuses. They have no idea of the way that the world really works. But I'm explaining to you the secret of the way the world really works. And it's not some secret plucked out of the air. The secret is outlined first and foremost in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. This is not something that I'm pulling out of thin air. This comes directly from the Bible if you study the Bible properly and you really do your homework. And then the truth of the Bible, which reveals Mystery Babylon and this occultic world system ruled by Satan, is confirmed by what has happened in history, the super civilizations, the ancient occult empires, and this reoccurring secret master occult plan by a globalist elite that hides itself inside of secret occult societies, passing on their secret occult knowledge from kingdom to kingdom and empire to empire. They have this secret occult elite rules the world today. It rules the United States today. Let's be blunt. Let's not beat around the bush here. We just had an election in the United States of America. At the point of this program, the election has not officially been decided upon. But the question is, based on what occurred and the allegations of voter cheating, through Dominion machines and other things, who really is voting our presidents in power? Is it we the people, like it's supposed to be? Or is America really ruled by a secret occult elite that is sometimes referred to as the shadow government? Or the globalist elite. And they give the people, like they do in every civilization they create the illusion, which, by the way, is built on psychology and the use of magic. They create an illusion of a free society, but in reality, they have the masses under what Huxley called scientific mind control, and what they really have is an occult dictatorship, or what Huxley called scientific dictatorship, or what Brzezinski, one of the master planners of the New World Order, called the technocratic elite. All of those phrases, scientific dictatorship, technocratic elite, secret societies, the Illuminati, the deep state, all the rest of this stuff is referring to the existence of the fact that there's billions of people, the masses on planet Earth, but there's only a tiny minority of elite, godlike men or women who are actually controlling all of the wealth of the world, all of the knowledge of the world, and they are purposely leading our world into what the Book of Revelation calls the return of Mystery Babylon. And once again, let's define Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon, or Babylon, really means this present satanic or Luciferian world system. So if you want to know how this world system really runs and why the world works the way that it works, it's because that this world system is temporarily being ruled by Satan or Lucifer. It's a Luciferian system in which Lucifer selects an elite group of men or women, and he rules the world through them. And that's why you can go back into ancient history, and perhaps the best accurate historical record for going back to ancient history is to read the Bible. Read, for example, the Book of Daniel. And in the Book of Daniel, Daniel supernaturally interprets for the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon has a vision and a dream, which represents symbolically a whole series of world empires, pagan world empires, where they worship false gods and their empires built on occult power, such as Babylon, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, the revived Roman Empire. And these are just some of the world empires that dominated planet Earth. And they all were ruled by an occult elite. This occult elite is what Huxley called the scientific dictatorship, what Brzezinski called the technocratic elite. And it's alive and well today. And so the dollar bill simply tells us in symbolic form the reality of this one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system. This new world order ruled by a Luciferian elite or a globalist elite. Now, this is essential to understand, so I want to encourage you to go to paulmaguire.us, that's paulmaguire.us, and save money and get yourself some book bundles where you get a discount on my books, and get yourself a copy of Volume 2 of A Prophecy of the Future of America, Conquering the Matrix, The Day the Dollar Died, Mass Awakening, and some of the other books. And you will have your mind amplified and energized, and you will receive wisdom from God about the secrets of the way that the world works, the way that it really works, and how you don't have to be a slave in ancient Babylon or mystery Babylon, but how you can be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. This is important. This is important because you see, the scientific dictatorship, the technocratic elite, the Pharaoh God King system, all these different satanic worldly empires, they use science, psychology, hypnosis, brainwashing, mind control, and other secret techniques to control the minds of men and women and to make the masses their slaves. They did it in ancient Egypt. They did it in ancient Babylon. They did it in many ancient empires, and they're doing it in this present world system right now. So visit paulmaguire.us. Remember, paulmaguire.us is our main portal. We are establishing right now other social media platforms, other platforms for you to listen to the Paul Maguire Report audio show, other ways you can watch the prophetic emergency alerts with Paul Maguire on video. And we have to diversify and expand the social media platform that we're on and the channels and avenues by which you can hear, watch, and see us. The vast majority of what we do is free. Now, it's critical that you write that down in your cell phone or your computer, because right now, and what has been happening for the past year, there is what could be called a purge going on in social media, the internet, and in media. This purge is simply a means where the big tech companies, search engine companies, the media companies, are all conspiring, if you will, to shut down, censor, and remove the websites, the social media sites, the video, the audio, the communications of people with a biblical Christian point of view, with a conservative point of view, people who don't necessarily buy into the political correctness point of view. All those people are under attack or will be under attack, and they're removing them from the internet. And you're going to wake up one day, and there's going to be a lot of people that maybe you like listening to and watching, and you're not going to be able to find them. So I'm giving you a heads up now to make sure you mark down paulmaguire.us, but that as we begin to announce the other social media platforms, you know what they are so you can spread the word. That's the only way we can defeat this evil censorship. And so we have our Roku channel, paulmaguire.us. You can watch hundreds of hours of Bible prophecy teaching that I've given at Paradise Mountain Church and conferences and video messages, all available for free on our Roku channel, which is called paulmaguire.us. And we're opening up new social media platforms. This expansion, we need to spend a lot more money to expand on many different platforms. Need more finances to not only expand and diversify on many different platforms, but to create and acquire things like apps for you to use and other technologies for you to use that will help us reach more people all over the world and make it easier for people to be reached. And also, most importantly, invest in technologies that will prevent us from being wiped out and censored like so many people are. So we are right now in America at this point because of the globalist elite. See, the globalist elite, they don't want free speech. They want a dictatorship. They want totalitarianism. And that's what this battle is all about. So I need your help because first and foremost, you know, when you're preaching the gospel like we are, winning souls to Christ like we are, when you're teaching a biblical worldview and Bible prophecy like we are, when you're making disciples of all nations like we are, you are under attack and people want to, you know, censor you off of any communications channel. So we are on the front lines in a vicious spiritual war. And so, again, I want to thank every one of you who have taken your assignments personally to be prayer warriors and intercessory prayer warriors for me, my family, and this ministry. I cannot tell you how critical your fervent intercessory prayers are for me in this ministry. I want you to know that I try to practice what I preach. Every day I go into intercessory prayer. I go to the blood of Jesus by faith into the throne room of God, and I intercede. I lift up ministries and individuals who are on the front lines. And that includes praying, for example, for the President of the United States every single day, because there is a demonic warfare raging in the invisible realm over America. And the only way we can win that is to recognize and really understand how to apply what the Apostle Paul taught us when he said, "For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities and powers and the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places." So we're not fighting people, we're fighting demonic beings, fallen angels. So we have to use the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. To be blunt, that's why the devil hates programming like this, because it causes real change. This is not about sensationalism. This is about empowering God's people and winning people to Jesus Christ. So I thank God for each and every one of you. I, too, am a fervent spiritual warrior. I am an intercessor, because I know how powerful that is for myself, for others. And then I want to thank those of you that respond to the burden that the Lord has put in your heart. And you are sending our messages and our links to groups you belong to and to websites. And you're spreading our message far and wide. I want to thank God for what you're doing, because they have created these computer algorithms with artificial intelligence, which scans the internet. And when something is conservative or Christian or deals with Bible prophecy or isn't politically correct, these computer algorithms are on a search and destroy mission. And they will rip any message, just like a dictatorship, they'll rip any message off the internet or media that doesn't conform to this present world system. And the only way to defeat that is for you spread our messages far and wide yourself. Take it upon yourself. I thank God for every one of you that do that faithfully. I really do. And then finally, because we have to expand, we have to acquire new technology to do what I just described. We have to expand to different social media platforms. Make sure we have an app available for you to use. Make it easier for you to listen and watch, upgrade our production values, so many other things. Because now is the time to do it. 3 months from now, it could be too late. A year from now, it could be too late. If we go into we hit the snooze button and pretend that everything's just hunky-dory, we're going to get taken down. We are literally, as I've said in my latest book, we are literally in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. All hands have to be on deck. So as your brother in Christ, I want to simply ask you, regarding what I've said to you, pray to the Lord, ask the Lord, "Lord, what can I do to help Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mount Church accomplish what you have called them to accomplish? How can I help, Lord?" And you pray to the Lord. And then whatever God tells you to do, ask him, "Lord, how much do you want me to contribute in terms of financial donations or financial contribution?" Whatever God tells you to do, no matter how incredibly large the amount is or incredibly small the amount is. The point is that you and I are obedient to whatever the Lord says. And so we wait on the Lord, and then what the Lord tells us, we don't go, "Oh, that's not you, Lord." We wait on the Lord, and then the Lord will impress us either immediately after we pray, during our prayers, or the Lord may speak to us in the middle of the night. Something may click, and you know how that is. You walk with the Lord, and the Lord speaks to you and surprises you. So what I'm asking you to do is simply do whatever God tells you to do. Now, I know God speaks to every one of his children who are born again. The only people that God has difficulty speaking to among his children who are born again is when this happens. When people develop the habit, or the lifestyle, but a better word would be the habit. When people develop the habit, and we're all vulnerable to this temptation, when we develop the habit of deafening our ears to the voice of the Lord, and when the Lord speaks to us, and we develop the habit of always saying no, or always trying to say, oh, that's my imagination, that wasn't the Lord, or that wasn't the Lord speaking, or we just throw it, we bury it in the back of our minds, the Lord says something to us, and we're all excited, and then we totally forget about it. Now, this is a word of warning and counsel to you, but it's a word of warning and counsel to me also. When you do that, you're training your spirit to be deaf to the voice of the Lord. When you do that, you're developing the habit of not hearing the Lord. Okay? We all are vulnerable to that. So if we yield to that, and if we allow ourselves to be deaf to the voice of the Lord, if we allow ourselves to forget what the Lord told us to do, if we allow ourselves to, when God speaks to us, but we allow ourselves to talk ourselves out of what we know God told us to do, this is what happens in terms of a spiritual principle. Whether we realize it or not, we have just trained our human spirit, our human personality. We have literally trained ourselves to be deaf to the voice of the Lord. I'm very serious about this. Because when you habitually hear the voice of the Lord, when God is habitually speaking to you, and you're habitually developing the habit of not obeying him, not listening or forgetting, what happens is you, without realizing it, you lose your ability to hear the voice of the Lord in other all-important areas of your life. And this is why you've trained your own human personality to be deaf to the voice of the Lord and to forget what he said. You've trained yourself through habit. So what happens is, other things will come around your life. And what will happen is, things will come into your life when you will desperately need an answer to prayer. You will desperately need to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, to hear his counsel, his guidance, his wisdom. And I meet people all the time who say, I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying. And I don't hear from God. It's like God's not answering me. I hear that all the time. This is the problem, and you can fix it. I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm saying this to set you free. You have to admit, because if you can't hear from the Lord, and you're praying and praying and praying, there's a very high probability that the reason you can't hear from the Lord is that you have spent too much time training yourself to be deaf to the voice of the Lord. So since you've trained yourself to be deaf to the voice of the Lord, when you're in an emergency and a crisis and have a problem, and you're personally crying out to the Lord, asking the Lord to answer your prayer, you can't figure out why you can't hear the Lord say anything to you. You're not getting any guidance. You're not getting any answers to prayer. You're not hearing the voice of the Lord. Why? Because you've spent a year or more training yourself not to hear God's voice. So when it's your turn to have a need, and you're crying out to God in prayer, what happens is that habit is still in place, and you can't hear from the Lord, and bad, bad things happen to you. Now, the way you solve that problem is you don't allow your own human spirit, your own human brain, your own conscience, you don't allow yourself to train yourself to be deaf to the voice of the Lord. God has given us managerial authority over our own personalities. So we make sure that on a daily basis that our hearts are open, broken, and sensitive to the voice of the Lord. So what we want to do is train ourselves to hear the voice of the Lord. What we want to do is cultivate within ourselves the ability to hear God's answers to prayer. Now, if we'll walk in that kind of faith and belief, then we'll cry out in a time of trouble or emergency, and we won't be saying, I can't hear the voice of the Lord. Because you've trained yourself now to hear the voice of the Lord, the Lord will speak to you in your present situation, and you're going to hear him. You will hear the voice of the Lord. You will hear his guidance, and you will hear him when he says, this is the way, walk ye in it. So this is a very important principle of spiritual growth and discipleship. When you develop the practice of hearing from the Lord and obeying the Lord, then you will never find yourself in a position that when you're in a crisis and you need to hear from the Lord, you'll never find yourself in that place where you say, I can't hear from the Lord. The Lord isn't saying anything. That happens because it's a result of when people make the bad judgment of training themselves deaf to the Lord. Now, when you train yourself to be open to the Lord, train yourself to hear the Lord, train yourself to obey the Lord, that's when you enter in to a victorious Christian life. That's when you see the supernatural. That's when you see prayers answered. So what I'm encouraging you to do is to simply listen to God, and then whatever God tells you to do, do. But I'm telling you, as your brother in Christ, we are entering the greatest spiritual battle of my lifetime and your lifetime. And it's a battle of thoughts, ideas, and beliefs. And very few ministries, there are some, but very few ministries are on the front lines of the battle fighting the intense spiritual warfare over ideas, over strongholds, over beliefs, over spiritual deception. That's frontline warfare. That's where we are. But I need your prayers. I need your willingness to spread our message far and wide. And I need you to seek the Lord and ask the Lord what you can do and how much you can give financially and in terms of your contribution. And then, whatever you give, my heart is filled with thankfulness and thanksgiving. And I pray that God blesses you for your obedience. I know that he will, because we're in this together. We need to fight to preserve our freedom. This is a spiritual battle that is ferocious. It's vicious. But the truth can set you free and set me free. This is Paul McGuire. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Spread our message far and wide. We have new videos coming out. We have so many free videos, so many articles. You can get special discounts on our book bundle packages. We are doing everything we can to churn out books, videos, radio, television, and we have steps in terms of growth plan. Where we will be able to reach a lot more people and in a far more effective manner. But in order to do that, I need your partnership. I need to stand with you. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.